All right, guys, we're going over study questions for chapter 3, page 141. All right, starting on number 1 in the bottom right. The contents of which organ has the lowest pH? The stomach, good. Which organ produces an alkaline or basic solution to buffer this low pH?
Gallbladder?
Yeah, the liver or the gallbladder, good. Cool. Yeah, that's going to secrete right at the entrance to the small intestine, because if we had a super acidic solution going into this the small intestine, it would literally burn it and potentially damage the small intestine. All right, number 2. Where in the GI tract does the majority of nutrient digestion and absorption take place? Yeah, the small intestine. If it ever talks about absorption, the only real place for absorption as far as nutrients is going to be the mainly just the small intestine. The large intestine has a little bit of absorption, but its main job is to recollect the water that was input through the digestive tract. Good, so number 2 is the small intestine. Good. Number 3 on the next page, 142. Describe the path food follows as it travels through the digestive system. Summarize the muscular actions that take place along the way. Well, what's the name for the muscular action that takes place along the way?
Peristalsis.
Peristalsis, good. So number 3, it says describe the path of food as it travels through the digestive system. Who wants to give it a crack?
Saliva in the mouth helps break down the food. Stomach breaks down the food into nutrients that can be absorbed. Small intestine absorbs everything. As far as nutrients go, and the large intestine removes the useless stuff out of your body.
Cool. Okay, that's pretty much good enough. So starting in the mouth with chewing and mixed with saliva, that's the beginning of the digestive tract. Then heading down the esophagus, going into the stomach. Okay. In the stomach, it mixes with hydrochloric acid and other enzymes to start breaking down the nutrients further, and the churning helps to mix it up. Then it empties into the duodenum, or the start of the large, or the start of the small intestine. In the small intestine, it is further digested and mixes with more enzymes to further break it down, in which the nutrients get small enough to pass through the gut lining. Once it passes through the gut lining, it can be absorbed and put into the blood, which is processed in the liver, before distributed to the rest of the blood. And then we move in from the small intestine to the large intestine, like you said, where reabsorption of water occurs and maybe some other small nutrients, but not too much, in which waste forms and is then excreted at the end of the large intestine via the anus and anal sphincter. As sphincter says what? Alright. Number 4. Name the 3 assisting organs that are not part of the GI tract but are needed for proper digestion. What are their roles in digestion? So what are they?
Salivary glands.
Salivary glands? Well, those are glands. I think it's talking about organs.
Liver, gallbladder, and pancreas.
Yeah, liver, gallbladder, and pancreas. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the glands are necessary, but I think this one's specifically asking about organs. Good. So the liver, the gallbladder, and pancreas, what are their roles in digestion? What do those 3 things do?
Pancreas does enzymes, excretes enzymes.
Good, the pancreas secretes extra enzymes to help with further digestion.
The liver produces bile.
It
exfoliates harmful substances and metabolizes.
Yeah, which helps to metabolize and digest fats. Good.
And the gallbladder stores the bile.
The gallbladder stores the bile produced from the liver. Good. Number 5. List the 4 major hormones involved in regulating digestion and absorption. What are they?
Gastrin,
okay, what does it do?
Increases muscle movement in the stomach.
Good. Okay. What else?
Secretin.
Good, what does secretin do?
Uses gastric secretion and mobility.
Yeah, assists with moving juices, we'll say.
The
yeah.
Anti-gastrin.
Yeah, okay. Good. Next.
Cholecystokinin,
good.
And what stimulates pancreas to secrete enzymes and gallbladder to release bile.
Good, so stimulates the pancreas to release its enzymes and then triggers the gallbladder to release the bile into the small intestine. Good. Then the last one? Gastric inhibitory peptide. And what does that do?
Inhibits secretion mobility and emptying.
Good, yep. Yeah. Prevents the stomach from doing its job, more or less. And that might happen if you're like, need to focus on an athletic event or something. Your body might
shut down
the digestive system, and that's the hormone.
Sitting in the middle seat of the airport, you're trying to get off the plane, you realize you're not going to get to the bathroom in time.
All right. I like
hate
that story.
Sitting in the middle seat, so you can't ever use the bathroom. That's the worst. I'm all about the aisle.
Aisle style. What is gastroesophageal reflux disease? Otherwise known as acid reflux disease.
It's a backward moving of gastric contents causing pain and tissue damage.
Yes, so basically it's the gastric juices, the acidic gastric juices, going back up into the esophagus and causing damage and irritation, inflammation, and burning sensations in the throat. Also can be mistaken for heartburn sometimes. Acid reflux and heartburn are very, very similar, in which you have the stomach acid moving and creating irritation.
How is heartburn not acid reflux?
It pretty much is.
I think one's more severe.
Heartburn might be more of a...
common?
No, less often. Like acid reflux disease is where it's always going backflow, and heartburn is like, oh, I ate one thing, and all of a sudden I'm getting a little...
Maybe some kind of
yeah, disease. Exactly. What heartburn, I think, is the acute reaction. Acid reflux disease is where it's chronic, yeah. Yeah, you like, someone could eat something once a month and have heartburn, but if it's every time you eat something, you have heartburn, it's acid reflux. Yeah.
Is it a valve that's just not working?
Yes, if you look at page... there's a good picture.
Like, the figure on page 140 is like the Illuminati version of... like,
of pizza?
Yeah, it's got like...
If you look at page 109, you can see the cardiac sphincter, which is... divides the esophagus from the stomach, the top of the stomach right there. And when the cardiac sphincter prolapses or goes backwards, it's going to allow, or if it's just not working correctly, it's going to allow for gastric juices to go back upwards.
Even though there's peristalsis going on the, or is there?
So you can imagine, if your stomach's full, it expands, right? When something expands, it increases the pressure in the stomach. If the pressure in the stomach is increased, it should go down south after it's digested, but if the stomach contents stay full and you have a weak valve or the cardiac valve is not, cardiac sphincter is not doing its job, it's going to prolapse and go backwards.
Upstream.
Go back upstream, correct. And the cardiac sphincter would need to be open to allow you to vomit, too. And the when the cardiac sphincter opens, you kind of start to... Okay. That sensation, yeah. Exactly. There's a gag reflex, yeah. And the gag reflex is basically the opening of the cardiac sphincter. And hopefully, you know...
But again, it goes against that. Those peristaltic muscles.
Yeah, the muscles are trying to force it down, but if your stomach's upset about something, there's some irritation or some food is not happy, it's gonna go try to come back up. Yeah. All right. So that's the homework for chapter 3. Any questions? All right.